Hey, Mr. McDowell, thanks so much for joining WTOP in D.C. How are you doing?
Oh, great. Thank you. Very well. Thank you for having me on.
No, are you kidding me? The honor is all ours. It's such a privilege. We're here to talk about Mozart in the Jungle, Amazon streaming show. It had a nice acclaimed first season and is about to return for season two. You and I both know what it's about, but let's hear in your own words, you know, in case our listeners haven't seen the show yet and maybe they missed season one but are curious about season two. Tell us a brief, synopsis and who you play.
It's a comedy drama, basically about an orchestra. That's the very heart of our show. We're members of an orchestra, and that's what binds us all together. But it's basically lifting the curtain to look into their lives, and all the personal stuff when the performance is over, and the rehearsals start, and the whole deal. And follows this young girl is one of the streams of it, and her that played by Lola Kirk, who's a wonderful young actress, mm-hmm. and she's this young oboist coming in, trying to audition and get into this orchestra, and moonlighting on Broadway shows, and they rush from one job to another, and they try to, try to make ends meet in the Big Apple, and then my character is Thomas Pembridge, who's an eminent conductor who has been pushed upstairs onto the board of the orchestra, and who's now the artistic whatever it is. He doesn't really know what his title means, and basically it's just to get rid of him because they want to bring in this young Rodrigo, this young, wonderful talent from South America, mm-hmm. and played by Gael Garcia Bernal, who's this wonderful actor.
Yeah,
and they want to make the orchestra more accessible to young people and bring younger people in. I mean, it's Gutamel, in L.A.
Yeah,
it's exactly based. Inspired by him, and in fact, Gutamel is in the first show, which is fabulous. And I've actually worked with Gutamel. I did a Shakespeare piece with the orchestra. It was so much fun down at Disney Hall. Anyway, the first season, my character is in conflict with Rodrigo because he's jealous, obviously, and also being shoved upstairs by the younger talent. But in the second season, things have steadied, and he becomes more of a mentor. And, but I love playing this part because he's such a dichotomy of emotions, nothing that you think he's going to react to is the same way, and so everything is, everything is sort of up in the air and different, and I just love the character. He's like a child, really, and he throws his toys out of the pram, and he'll react very quickly, and then, of course, in the light of day, he'd change his mind and stuff. So I never know with him what his moods are going to be. But he's a delight to play and very funny. I find him very funny, very amusing, and he'll be talking about, to a journalist played by Jason Schwartzman. And by mm-hmm. the way, Jason is the one who found the book, bought the rights, and it took him 10 years to get this thing going the way he wanted it to. Work out, and
He spearheaded this whole thing.
He did, actually. Yeah, he did, and I think he then, got his family behind him, and, Roman Coppola is part of the family, and then I know that, they gave it to Paul Weiss, and, Paul is one of our great screenwriting directors, and he's got a movie out this year called Grandma, which mm-hmm. I would suggest all your listeners go watch this movie. It's fabulous with Lily Tomlin, one of my favorite movies of the year, and I know he's going to be up for consideration. So, we've got really great people working on this thing, and everybody loves it. We're doing it, because we passionately believe in it, and if you do that, then, you know, you can't go really wrong. I mean, I don't know. We're hoping the audience will be there, and I'm sure it will be. But, of course, we're on a new network, as it were. It's not actually a network, but Amazon Prime. You know, it's a streaming service like Netflix.
Yeah, like transparent.
So we have to try and educate the audience a little bit to, you know, I guess they have to order it in a different way. You know, you have the Fire Stick.
Yeah,
which
yeah.
Actually, I do the voice for the show hole.
Oh, that's you in the commercial?
That's me, yeah. Yeah.
I had no idea. Oh,
now, there
hilarious.
You are, you see. Well, I'm full of surprises. Yeah.
As we can tell.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you mentioned that, you know, you're hoping that it finds its footing and finds the audience, but it's definitely finding, you know, it's definitely finding the critics. I mean, you guys got nominated for what, best TV comedy? And the Globes are coming up here, and I think Gael, you mentioned, got nominated for best comedy actor, too.
Yeah.
Everyone will remember him from Jon Stewart's movie, from Rosewater, and then you mentioned Lola Kirk. Everyone remembers her from Mistress America, Gone Girl, I mean, and then Bernadette Peters, of course, and yourself. I mean, what's it like working with such, you know,
and let's not forget Bernadette Peters, too.
Yeah.
And Saffron Burroughs. And we have an incredible, and there's Deborah Monk, who's one of the great Broadway actresses. I mean, the talent pool is endless. I mean, really, and some of the guest stars we've had, you know, Gretchen Mol came on, did an arc, and I don't know how many shows, but she was around for a while, and she's a delight, and she's just a fabulous person. I mean, and, oh, gosh, you know, Dermot Mulroney, and who else? We had Isai Morales. So we've had a great, you know, pool of people coming on and stuff. And I think they love the show. They want to do it because they've seen it and they love it. And it's getting a reputation, you know, slowly but surely, that it's really, you know, a classy show and people really want to be involved with it.
Definitely. And you mentioned Roman Coppola and Jason Schwartzman.
Yeah.
What's it been like working with them? You know, take us sort of behind the scenes of when we see the show on Amazon, we see one thing. But what's it like, you know, on set working with those guys, spitballing with those guys and trying to sculpt your character?
I know Jason slightly better than Roman, simply because I've worked with him more. And, of course, you know, I work with him as an actor as well as him being my producer, writer. But so if I have something to discuss, I'll talk to him basically because I know he's the writer, so I want to, you know, get input. But he's just a delight, you know. He's exactly what you see. He's this genuine, wonderfully inquisitive person and who's wants to make it. You know, and he loves the music. He really loves music so much, and he's very much part of choosing the pieces that we use in the show. And I know that it meant a lot to him. And you know, what's really wonderful, and I think we all feel a bit this, that if we can, you know, get a few young people to listen to some of these great classical composers, then you know, then that's a sort of little bonus that goes with it, you know. And, you know, every time I put on a piece of classical music in the car, you know, my kids are like, oh, God, Dad, you know. But occasionally I slip one in and I hear silence, you know, just the music. And I know it hit home, you know, slightly. It's not fuddy-duddy stuff. They don't know. You know, this is where all great music comes from. They don't realize the Beatles were influenced by Beethoven and Mozart probably more than anybody else, you know. And that, where do you think it all comes from?
Yeah, exactly. That's the source. It's interesting you say that, too, about, you know, trying to bring in a younger generation to get to, you know, classical music and orchestras. Because us being a station here in D.C., you know, we got the Kennedy Center, and they just had they've been trying to do the same exact thing. They've brought in, I'm trying to think in recent years, they brought in, you know, Kendrick Lamar and Nas and some of these people to play with a live orchestra, trying to maybe bring in a new generation. So maybe your show can do the same thing. That's really
that's
an interesting
thought. I hope it can. I believe it can. And, you know, because we make it is a comedy. So we are, you know, but it's not overtly smack 'em over the head comedy.
Yeah.
It's just one of those quizzical smile kind of thing after a scene, you know, of, I mean, there's so many great, great stuff. And there's the, you know, it's just loaded with it. So I just hope we get the audience. I think we will, you know, but it takes time to educate, you know, the great American public to a different kind of delivery system, you know, streaming. I mean, we're right on the cutting edge here. I didn't
definitely
think I'd say that about my career, but hey, I've ended up doing that.
You've been on the cutting edge a time or two before. You mentioned the classical music, and man, all you have to do is say Malcolm McDowell, classical music, and you think of all those great uses of Kubrick in Clockwork Orange, man. I mean, you've been championing classical music for a while there, sir.
Yes, I know I'm very privileged to do it, but and here's the joke: the ad line for Mozart in the Jungle is sex, drugs, and classical music. That is exactly the ad line that Kubrick chose when Clockwork Orange. But I think
serious?
He just had the words "an ultraviolence" added on.
And the old
that
in
was
out
it.
Added
that was the
in
ad
there.
Line. So life has become a circle for me.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah.
Do you? We went into the show a bunch, but let's end on the Clockwork Orange then. So you mentioned Kubrick. What was it about his genius and be able to lace in that music like that, and you know, to be able to change speeds and, you know, some of those fast forward scenes and, you know, you ruining Singing in the Rain Forever for everybody else.
Well,
what was it working with him, man?
I am responsible for that myself, and I did apologize, you know, to the man responsible, but. The thing is that, you know, Kubrick knew so much about these great composers, and, you know, he really loved music. And see any of his movies, the soundtracks are revolutionary, you know. And I think Clockwork Orange was the first album from a movie that, you know, to go platinum. It was the biggest selling soundtrack, and people realized then you could actually make money from movie soundtracks. They didn't know that before Clockwork Orange. So, you know, Stanley introduced me to Beethoven through that part, and I've been a fan, you know, ever since. Of course, I love classical music, but I also love everything else. You know, I can listen to anything pretty much. I love folk music. I love the blues. I love rock. I love it all, you know, and there's no reason why you can't love everything.
And final question, if you were there
Alex
DeLarge with your eyes pried wide open at a screen, what would Malcolm McDowell be watching?
I would be watching Mozart in the Jungle because I'd want a good laugh. But I don't expect me to say anything else.
Somehow I knew you'd say that. Hey, that's a perfect way to bring it full circle.
Well, exactly. Hey. Listen, it's been a real pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, we really appreciate the time. Everybody, Malcolm McDowell.